up. It's time for post-show recaps coverage of A League of Their Own, the brand new Amazon Prime TV show. My name is Grace. I'm here as your host. Also here is a woman who has a star by her name that might just be a smudge. Marissa Garza, how are you doing, Marissa?
Good. It might be. It might be. But it could also star. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out together if it's a star or smudge.
I think you're a star. It's definitely a star.
Thanks.
And now a woman who never forgets to bring pie to the choir practice. It's Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you doing?
I have always bought and baked pie to all of the choir practices. Yeah. Quite a baker.
Wow.
But kind like of like the bakers.
Yeah. The titular bakers in this movie. Because as we were saying before the pot, they can't be Wrigley or what is the
Harvey.
Harvey. Yeah. A League of Their Own, it's happening. All 8 episodes dropped on Amazon Prime today. We are talking about episode 1, which I said better up at the beginning. That was good in my intro. And then episode 1 is like, it will also be called better episode 1. So that is the title of the episode. We have not watched all of them. We have watched one episode. And we'll come to you roughly twice a week, schedules depending, with the rest of the series. We did a preview podcast last week about the movie and our expectations about the TV show. But perhaps we should fully just talk about, the differences between the two. How are we feeling so far, one episode in, Marissa?
Well, I think like the vibe is similar and the stories are the same, but I am enjoying the modernization of things as a from a historical standpoint. There's a fuzzy line. Like there's some things that are, at the end of the episode, we hear Janis Joplin and it like kind of took me out of the situation because I was like, wait, where are we? What war are we in? Like, what's going on? But I enjoy just like the more modern, fresh take on it a little bit. So those are my initial impressions. There's like, the Harvey and the baker of it all. And the, we don't have a Marla, which like we just have an anxious person as opposed to a Marla. So they're able to keep like the spirit of the casting, like characters the same without necessarily doing a carbon copy, which I appreciated.
There are some pretty close comparisons we could probably make between some of our crew. But I found that this episode, like, I very much had to use IMDb to be like,
yeah,
what is your name? What is your actual player, your character's name? But Sarah, what did you think about episode 1 overall?
I thought that they did a lot of really nice homages to the movie, which I really enjoyed as a lover of A League of Their Own, the movie. Of course, the first initial one being the train and the running with the train and throwing up the bags, which Carson was doing. That is always one of, like, I feel like it's just such a fun moment in the movie. I like to see it there. I thought the initial meet and greet of Greta and Joe was so much like Rosie and Madonna. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I know who these two are supposed to be a nod to. And I thought like there was a couple of moments that I felt like it was really enjoyable to see. And all in all, I thought that this was a like really good showing for the first episode. It definitely feels, as a person that loves The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I felt like it gave me the same feeling as I get as I watch Mrs. Maisel.
Good call.
That is good. I felt a little like, not anything to do with like the set pieces or like the costuming or anything like that. I felt kind of comedy wise, it felt very modern. It felt like a show that's made in 2022, which is fun because one of the critiques we made last week is that like I think there's a lot about the culture of the All-American Girls League, the real All-American Girls League, that the movie sort of glossed over or didn't talk about at all, that this show is very excited to talk about. So I feel like in some ways it feels more real. And also I felt like this was such a comedy. I feel like the opening of A League of Their Own is like, this is a serious drama about like, it's a comedy, but it's like, it's like the, she's older and she's like, and it's so much about her and her sister. And this is like, no, we have one main character in Carson. And then we're going to meet like some of the other main characters, but like she's, on the like journey from home by herself. So I think that was the biggest like tonal difference, but I think you're totally right, Sarah, that like it pays so much homage to the movie that I was really excited by what we saw. And we'll continue to cover these shows. It is close-ish to the beginning of the month, if you're listening to this on the day the podcast drops, which is August 12th. So not a bad time to become a patron of Post Show Recaps, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. At any level, you get bonus podcasts. At higher levels, you get discounts on merch. You get an ad-free podcast feed. At any level, you get access to the Discord where you can chat with us about the show. If you're finding this podcast in the main feed of Post Show Recaps and you just would like a League of Their Own episodes, you could get that at postshowrecaps.com/league, and you'll get all of a League of Their Own podcasts all on their own. And don't forget to check out the merch store, postshowrecaps.com/store. Let's dive into the full episode. I think the big storyline here is very clearly Carson, Carson leaving, getting on the train, as you mentioned, Sarah, the homage. I really enjoyed that. I recognized the train conductor, but like not in a way that I'm like, I know your name.
I wrote that guy. It's that guy.
Yeah. There's so many of that guys in this episode. It's it's wild. And she meets up. We're going to learn that she has a Charlie. Is it where I do love this? Like, how is he doing? He's great. Well, like great considering he's at war. Yeah. It was very fun. But we're going to, what did we think of Carson? She's like our titular character here. I feel like in the movie we get both like, you know, we get two main characters to a degree. And here, this is Abby Jacobson's kind of showcase, I think, to a degree.
I think she's like Dottie and Kit combined in terms of personality. Like, we get the whole like, yeah, he's fine for being at war type of like, there's a sense of responsibility, but not as much as you get with Dottie from the movie. And there's a sense of adventure and, you know, spontaneity that you get from Kit. And they kind of just like put it all together and put her in Idaho for some reason.
I feel like she kind of has like she has like the skill set of Dottie and the confidence of Kit to a degree. Like, yeah, she's like kind of like when she's like, they're like, oh, I guess I did do pretty well, you know, like I guess.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think I like Carson. I think that I need a little bit more time to fully warm up to her. I'll be honest, I like my characters to be a bit of a sass, so I'm more like drawn to Greta, who is like, it reminds me so much of the Madonna character, but also she, I don't know, she's like loose and fun. And I think that Carson needs to get out of her shell a little bit. I think that she's been hanging out too long in Idaho. I think that she has a lot going on in her head between leaving her husband and when he's coming home from war and her questions with her sexuality and everything that has to do with like starting this new life. So maybe that's why I felt like she was a little bit more closed off, but that doesn't mean that I won't grow to love Carson. It just wasn't an automatic like, I love this character.
Yeah, I remember someone, it was a TikTok review for a movie I was watching recently, maybe it was a TV show, and they're like, the very annoying thing about the like piece of media I watch is that the character never changed from the beginning of the thing to the end of the thing. They're all just like, they went through this like horrific thing, and then I was just like, all right, well, that was weird, huh? I feel like Carson is going to go on a pretty big like self-discovery journey. I mean, potentially a literal coming out story, which made me excited. Boy, I thought Greta was like phenomenal. Darcy Carden, I think, like I think everybody like discovered her via The Good Place, but she's also been in Barry and been very good. She's tremendous, and this is a tremendous performance. Like from the moment that these like Joe and Greta meet Carson, I think it's like she's just such a standout.
Well, she's like dressed in satin. Like, how can you not? Like, how can you not stand out? You know, and she's like super sassy, but also really wants to like know people and know their stories. And she has like her own independent spirit that you can tell just by in the first meeting. I mean, like she definitely says that at the end, like towards the end of the episode, where she's like, we're going to make the most of this. We're going to rob the bank. Or
you mean literally rob the bank?
Yeah, or, like, yeah, literally. Yeah, we do not consider.
I just need to figure out what my job is. I'm like not a very fast driver.
Like, I could do that. I can do that. But it just feels like a big commitment. So I'm glad that we're discussing it now.
The writing, I think, here was like very strong. I think was is pretty good. I thought maybe it was a little bit slow to get going. And I'm very much excited for like baseball. It's a big part of like League of Their Own. I feel like we get like a baseball scene, which is a fun montage, so there's that. I'm excited for it to get going. But then I thought by the end of the episode, I mean, The big takeaway here, I think, between of this Greta and Carson storyline, not to like, I think, you know, lose the headline like 10 minutes into the pod, but like, what the hell is Greta doing to Carson?
She's a tricky little bee, isn't
what are
she?
You doing? It made me, I was like, kind of mad. I was like, you know, you talked about like that you find, and I think that you found Carson a little bit less sassy, a little bit like a little bit less of a personality than you want. I think this is sometimes is a very hard thing that a show has to, I think traditionally shows have done this thing where like the main character sometimes is the most boring character on the show. I don't think Carson's there, but it's certainly like, you know, in comparison to Greta, like Greta could be our main character, but then she's like pulling a, doing a, weird thing that I don't like.
Well, the thing is, Greta and Carson kiss and then she leaves with a man. Like, this is like not, this is not that like whatever, but without even like discussing and all of that stuff, like just kind of like leading her on big time. And I think that
that's what I thought she says.
Yeah. I just, it makes me want to get to know Greta's character. Like, I think it succeeded in that. Like, what's up with her? Why is she doing this? What's her motive? Does she really like Carson, but wants to make Carson work for something? I have no idea. Like, I don't know. These are the questions.
I mean, there's so many things here. It could be that she actually wanted to see if Carson could be somebody for Joe. She could actually like Carson, but then immediately had like, boy, this is relatable of like, I did a thing that society probably doesn't want me to do. I'm going to make up for it by going the complete, the pendulum is going to swing the opposite way. I'm going to take this man to see the sights.
That's kind of how I read it, actually.
Okay. I think so too. I think that's a pretty hard, like, heel turn for her to like have like manipulated Carson in a way that would be, you know, the show has not told us exactly what it is yet, but I think I see it more as like this is like comedy miscommunication and the like delving into like lesbian sexuality. Like, it's pretty like complex. That's how I think I read it, is like
how do you take after they kiss, Greta says, "I thought so," and then she leaves. And I think that that's the line that makes me question, like, how manipulative was this interaction? Is the fact that Greta, like Marissa said, really likes to get to know people and dig her claws into them and read them from, like, cover to cover, and she just had an inclination from what Carson was insinuating that she wanted to see if it was so. But that's super manipulative and kind of like gross, right, Marissa?
Yeah, I mean, we hear about Greta, we get introduced from her, she's lived all over the place, she's lived everywhere, and so, everywhere, even Paris and France.
She dated one of the lollipop kids, gave the lollipop to.
Right. So I think like between that and this interaction here, Sarah, I mean, there's a lot of questions I have to her. Of course, me with the trauma lens, I'm like, who hurt her? Like, who hurt you? How did you get to this place?
She gets what she wants, I think, is a character trait we learn about her pretty immediately. Yes. Like, not only does she she's sort of like, they're kind of confrontational, the two of them, to kind of like, don't follow us, like, we're not giving anybody an advantage, but also she gets the cigarettes right from the soldier in a way that to me shows that like she has tremendous influence. I feel like the thing was interesting to me is that it's interesting you said that she's sort of like a Madonna comp, because I think there's another character in the show who is to a degree supposed to be part of what Madonna, like her name is Maybelle, she's the blonde, like I think that to a degree she's kind of supposed to be that. Greta is almost like a little bit of Dottie before, like Dottie didn't know she was going to be a good leader, but very quickly it's like she's the manager of the team because Jimmy Dugan is like sitting just scratching parts of himself, whereas like Greta knows immediately, like, yeah, I'm gonna, like, you know, I can, like, you know, I can get us all to go out to the bar. She has a confidence about her that like I don't think Dottie ever has in the movie to a degree, other than like maybe the scene where like she pops up beside Tom Hanks when she's like, come back, but like Greta is like far more confident. So I don't know, it's very, I'm so intrigued by it though. This is, to me, was like my biggest takeaway from this episode.
Yeah, she definitely was the star of the episode for me. That was the character that I was drawn to, who I wanted to know more about. I thought that she's really interesting. She has this long-term friendship with Joe. Would she say ever since they were kids?
Yes, they played baseball in Queens together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like their friendship. I'm really excited to, and of course, who doesn't like Darcy Carden? Mm-hmm. Like she is so great, and she was great on The Good Place. And I think that it was kind of like with The Good Place, you came for Kristen Bell, but you stayed for Darcy. So
yeah, I came for Ted Danson, PS, by the way.
I think you also come for Ted Danson.
Who doesn't love Ted Danson? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, yes. Yeah, Darcy, there was one episode of The Good Place where I just was like, oh my goodness, how did you do all of this? And so ever since then, I will follow wherever she goes.
I thought Joe was going to be a little bit more around than she was, because they come in sort of as this package duo. They're chatting. There's like some great lines here where Joe's like, why am I the one having to tell us where to go? And Carson's like, I think you're just the only one holding the map. I thought we were going to get way more Joe. The only stuff we really get alluded to Joe is like people being like, what's your type? And Maybelle's like, blondes. Like, I'm a blonde. Joe says blondes and Maybelle's like, I'm a blonde. Wow, that's so weird, alluding to that she is also a lesbian. We see her like dancing alone and Greta's going to be like, I got to go dance with Joe because she's dancing alone. But not a ton of Joe in this episode, who I think spot on is sort of the Rosie O'Donnell. Sort of if you have to map anybody onto anybody.
Right. But I don't think it's a one-to-one, but
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to learn more about like Joe and Greta together. Cause like they've been friends forever, but then also Greta went to Paris and all of the other like stuff just isn't adding up. So I'm like, what is this story?
To me, I do think there is strong utility in Joe being attached to Greta from early on, because I come out of this episode being like, is Greta the villain of this story? We have not yet seen the Jimmy Dugan equivalents. There's been no Nick Offerman as of episode one. I imagine we'll get him in episode two. We have Sergeant Beverly set up as a little bit of a villain, but as we look in the movie, it's not like the lady instructors are the villains. We do get some setup with like the league and who it's run by, which will like I think be tension overall. But I think in terms of, like personal, I was like, is Greta the villain? But I think what could be really smart by having Joe attached to Greta is that those two, and specifically if it's just something about sexuality, that those two can be having conversations that we'll be able to see, that if Greta was more of this like singular aloof figure, we might not get that insight of like what she's thinking. But I think through Joe, we might get some of those, like we'll get Joe and Greta scenes that will enlighten us. I think as soon as this next episode as to like, what the F are you doing to Carson? So mean.
Well, and we have like a potential like love triangle thing, maybe jealousy thing popping up. We've got like, what does it mean to be gay in that period of time? Conversations that can happen. There's a lot there.
Yep. I thought really interesting. There's some other good. I love when Carson is like, I'm going to go, I have to go like finish packing, and she's writing notes. And she was noting some of her thoughts about the war. It's important to reflect that this is a bad one. And this is where we can get Greta offering to cut Carson's hair. Her hair is very farm.
I loved this. Of course, I'm such a basic person, but I love a makeover scene. Yeah. So this was very exciting to me. I was like, ooh, a haircut. This is great.
It did look good. It's a good haircut.
Yeah.
I thought so too. The letter that she was writing to her husband, Charlie, said, there's something wrong with me and you deserve better. So I think that was our first bit of foreshadowing to what would happen at the end of the episode.
Well, do we think that the reason she left is because of baseball? Like, what do we think the motivation is here? Because we don't see the last letter. We just know that she thinks there's something wrong with her. She wants to leave. He deserves better. And the reason why she told Greta was, hey, it's baseball. Like, I found out my husband was coming home and I left for baseball. So what do we think? It's everything. It could be everything.
I think it's everything. I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B in terms of like, yeah, I'm queer and married and don't want to do that. And also I do like playing baseball and they are holding baseball tryouts, right? Yeah. Like I do think that is real. It'd be very interesting for our main character to like not really even like playing baseball, which I guess in League of Their Own, Dottie's like very willing to often just be like, yeah, I'm gonna stop playing baseball.
I can take baseball or I can leave baseball.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like, there's a whole central plot line there, right? Of like her only going because Kit wants to play. She's exactly. Just like good at it, right? But I don't think that's what this is.
And maybe mm-hmm. that's what Greta and Joel represent is the sister relationship a little bit too, even though we don't have like a biological one. Sorry, go ahead.
I thought that perhaps, so her husband went off to the war, was probably gone for a while. She probably had her first bit of independence. Mm-hmm. Think of her husband coming home and she has to play the part of an everyday housewife. How suffocating that must feel for someone who's living in their minds is essentially a lie because they have to, you know, perform wife duties. She probably is going to have children soon with him. It must feel so suffocating to think that your only future is to be this man's wife, because this is the 40s. So I think that this was her chance to get out. And this was her opportunity. She got scouted in some capacity. I don't really recall how, except for she has a star next to her name or a smudge.
They really like, you know, in the movie, they're like, we're here watching you play in the like games that you play, right? Like the John Lovitz character is like going around. They don't really do that in this episode, but you presume that like that sort of still that's maybe happened, this combo of like scouting and putting up tryout posters and things. When I came out as trans, I remember talking about this, like probably like, I don't know, somewhere like 7-8 months after I came out, was this idea that like it was really great. I had like bubbles of places where it was safe for me to be out. So I had like, you know, eventually at some point I had like work and I had my house and I had, you know, like friend groups that I could be out in. And I called them my like little bubbles where like, it's awesome when I get into a bubble. The tough part is like when you have to travel in between bubbles and you have to like be on the subway and nobody know, like you're like as somebody who like very much look trans, like it's like, yeah, I feel like I'm like not safe because I'm like, but I have to get from bubble A to bubble B, and in the bubbles it's great. But the thing here that I think of too is like she almost had this like probably this like time with where Charlie's at war, like a bubble, and that bubble's gonna pop because Charlie's like coming back home, right? And so to exactly your point that like it could feel suffocating to have to like play this role. And that's the thing, like that I, you know, sometimes the safest thing to do in terms of like getting to bubble A to bubble B was to like, you know, not visibly look trans or like what, you know, for like my own like protection, safety, you know, self-esteem, any of that stuff. Like, so I think that's a really good point of like, yeah, she had to like, she's going to have to like play this role if Charlie's coming back for more.
And it's like more than one role, like, right. Like it's so many different roles that just aren't in alignment with who she is. And I think that I'd be curious, you know, to ask the history gods, like how many, I think this happened more than we know about. Mm-hmm. With women,
during the war
mm-hmm. I think, you know, when groups are given an opportunity and they take it, we just hear about other parts of it, we don't hear as much about everything.
Well, there's a big like, okay, let's get back to normal vibe of like post-war, right?
What's that about?
Association was she in with the Pies? Was that some sort of church going
church
thing?
Choir group?
Yeah.
I think
choir group, like that's another role as well. Like she got into this whole thing where she had to, you know, bake pies and be with this fake woman. It's like, ma'am, she's going to go on a train. Do you really think that she's going to be there in time?
I love that she's like, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
She's fully on the train to goodness knows where. She will not be there tomorrow.
Can I talk briefly at the letter writing? We get this whole thing with I know him as Howard from Only Murders in the Building. He also, I think, was in the new season of Dexter. I'll have to like try and find his name. I think he's very funny. He plays Henry here. And speaking of the show feeling like, you know, a bit modern in a sense, is like, I feel like a lot of even though I think it's there's obviously historically accurate, like this guy who works at the hotel is like gay and knows it and might say things to himself, but like I feel like other shows would be like, no, he would be like so secretive all the time. But I love that because they're so drunk and like, please don't open it. And he's like, I won't open it. And she's like, why would you even bring that up? Like, don't be a bad boy, Henry.
Oh my God. I love don't be a bad boy, Henry. You're so bad, Henry. And then the next morning he's trying to hide from them. And he's like, I didn't open it up. And yeah, they were like, that's again, so weird. Why would you say that?
Why would you bring that up again? It's so funny.
I loved when he's like, yeah, no, definitely, definitely not attracted to women in any way, shape, or form.
Hello, Don. Hello. Yeah. It's Don Lockhart, who might have heard him. Yes.
Henry is played by Michael Cyril Creighton.
He's just like, you know, that guy in everything. These
yeah.
Really, was he yeah. the cat guy in yes, Only Murders in the Building?
Yes, he's the cat guy.
Yeah. So I just loved. I feel like there's so many, there's so many little funny moments that like the whole episode was good, but I just wanted to shout out Bad Boy.
He's a bad boy. He's a bad boy.
Anything else about Greta, Joe, and Carson?
I would say just on the Carson front, she's a big reader, so like she's a little bit of an introvert. You know, we get a little bit of that. Pride and Prejudice comes up pretty much everywhere in my life, but Pride and Prejudice, she shouts out Pride and Prejudice about being like not a.
They weren't like, in love right away.
They weren't in love right away. And I wonder if that's like foreshadowing for her story and her life. And it does give us like an insight into how she sees. Like she's definitely more grounded, more realistic.
There's one other piece about Joe. Joe got kicked out, or her grandma kicked her out because she wasn't the right type of girl. Is another piece that we hear, which leads me to believe that Greta is like very protective of Joe, which I think is another interesting piece of that puzzle. Yeah.
And she could shield because Greta is very feminine looking. So she's able to be like, well, she's girl enough to hang out with me. You know what I mean? Like she's some of her bubble can extend.
One more quick Carson line, which is when she first runs onto the train and she's walking back and her bra had been out and she covers it and she goes, oh, Jesus. And then she sees a nun and she goes, I mean, Jesus, I just miss you so much.
Okay. Carson did have some good lines. Like I did like the equivalent to drunk texting with the drunk letter. Yes. There were some good Carson moments. There were.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick commercial break. We come back. We'll chat through a lot more. Okay. I think for me, Max is the next big sort of headline of the show. I really liked Max's storyline, essentially. You know, we talked about this a lot that like last week that like that one scene of them trying to like pay homage to like black baseball players is like a little bit infuriating in retrospect. It's just like one nod and leaving. So I like this that they're going to touch on this as a story. I thought Max was really compelling in terms of somebody who there's a lot to this like story, because it's not just that like Max goes to this tryout, is upset that they won't let her in, like throws the ball all the way across into the stands, like an impressive throw, but they you know, you also get Max's family life, as well as her relationship with Clance, her like best friend, who loves her more than anyone in the world, including her husband, who's standing right behind her when she says it. I really liked a lot of this, and I'm really intrigued where this goes, especially because the show, I'm interested to see how they interweave these two things in terms of like, you know, the idea that like, is this going to be a show about the All-American Girls League? That's, I don't think it's totally the case. It's going to be about like their lives in totality, not just them like playing baseball, because I think that's the only way that they'll be able to sort of like have both of these storylines intermingle. So what did you think of Max? Yeah.
One of the things that stood out was just, I think that if you look at plot A and you look at plot B, they're pretty even. Like if you look, and I think that is an important thing to take note of. And to your point, Grace, I do think we're going to see the full totality of a person. And I really enjoyed how layered the Black characters already are in the show. Not only do we have a best friend, but we have a best friend who's into comics, and yep. she draws, and she's yep. a wife, a whole wife. She's a whole wife.
Yeah. To be honest. I think that she's
the truth. Max could be a wife, too, if she took that the guy with the wobbly
eye. With the wobbly eye. Yeah. Yeah. And then, but then you also have, like, the salon that her mom owns that she's trying to pass down to Max. And, like, her mom says to her, you know, owning a business is the only way you can have some control in your life. And, you know, I want you to go after your dreams, but I want you to pick a possible dream. And I think that that's a really interesting juxtaposition to these white girls who are going after, like, they still have, like, they still have the trappings of marriage, in quotations. They still have, you know, being a woman during this time. But it'll be very interesting to see how they are. This is going to be horrible. Separate but equal. Like, they're different. They're different in their storytelling, but they have, like, more of an equal playing field in this one as opposed to the last one, which was, like, nothing.
Yeah, they're totally intertwined, these two storylines. And I think that the fact that they are literally in the same locations for a lot of the times, mm-hmm. it almost makes it worse for Max, the fact that she is so close yet so far. And it really made me sympathize with her, like, how much hurt it is to know that she's better than a lot of these women on the team. And the fact, because of the color of her skin, she wasn't able to even audition. This isn't theater. Tryout.
Break a leg.
There's a cast list at the end, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. So the fact that it's so close, it's so unachievable, unattainable for her. It's like, it's so hurtful. And the fact that she was at the bar watching these girls, like, dance and be without a care in the world. And there's so much anger building up inside of her because she just wants to have what the opportunities that all these other girls have. It's really hard. And the fact that, you know, she has support here and there, but ultimately she, you know, is being told to focus on reality by her family.
Mm-hmm. I mean, except not really her dad. Her dad's like, how to go. He's so excited. It's so cute. She's like, I didn't get to try out. And he's like, okay, well, let's throw the ball around tomorrow morning, you know? And I think he'll continue to be, like, very supportive of her. She's going to clearly go to the factory, I think, next episode, probably, and try to get a job and get on the team. And I think, to your point, Marissa, that, like, it's not just like, this isn't like the show has one Black character to try and, like, sort of tell that story. You have Max, who's like, you know, when she gets told no, she's pretty angry about it. She's fired mm-hmm. up. But you also have Clance, you know, telling this response of sort of like, we're really sorry to bother you. Like, I'm like, you know, which, like, sucks that that's, like, you know, in terms of, like, having to just appease somebody when they say no and just have to, like, be fine with it. But they want different things in their lives as well. So I think and I think, to the point of, like, Max's parents, of, like, her mom being somebody who's like, no, I need you. You can dream, but your dreams have to be real or attainable. Mm-hmm. Whereas her dad does seem to be somebody who's more like potentially going to be like, whatever dream you have, you should try to do it. And even the people at the salon, I love when she's, like, trying to lie about Jazz, and she's trying to, like, yeah. whisper the, like, name. And I love how they're like, no, we love this. We love when you, like, you talk about it in front of us. Like, we love when you talk about gossip. I just thought this was really fun, well-written, enjoyable stuff. Yeah. And like, stuff that we thought was missing from the movie.
Yeah, and I also really appreciated the fact that, you know, Max does see the kiss between Carson and Greta.
Yes.
And it's not used against them, at least. I'm hoping it won't. I'm hoping that's not a road we go down.
I don't think that's what that's why I think with, like, Greta, I have some optimism in terms of how much I feel like, oh, this could be really ucky. I don't think it will be, and I don't expect that.
Yeah, it was just, like, really refreshing. They meet, like, Carson and Max meet in the alley at the end of the night, and she's just like, it's okay. Like, it's, you know, Carson's nervous that Max saw everything, but it's just like, Max's just like, it's okay. And I thought that was, like, a really refreshing take in more ways than one.
Your throws for the grapes. Yeah, I know. And walks away. Like, I love that. I also love the scene where Max comes in and Guy is the one who's like spoiled that she went, they went to the tryout. Guy brought over like pork and let loose that Clance and Max went to the tryout in Chicago, and they go to see him, and Clance is like, so Max is holding in all of her rage. It's going to be really ugly. She has a whole speech prepared. And she's like, can you just like, let me do this? I love that they're like annoyed by each other, 'cause it feels so much like they are friends.
Real friends. Yeah.
And she shows her the picture and she's like, say something nice. And she's like, something nice. They're cute. They're fun. They like are like not, they're not just appease each other for the sake of appeasing each other, 'cause they're friends. They feel like real friends.
It's also sistery, right? Like, so like, we don't have like, we don't have like a core sister duo, but I think we're seeing sisterhood in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. I mean, and to your point of like, it feels balanced. I think we open the TV show with Carson on the train, and we get the classic like League of Their Own music. But the end of the episode is really like, we do see, it's like intercut with the team clapping, but it's like very much about like Max like sweeping the floor, putting on her ball cap, like practicing, looking like, yeah, I'm good at baseball.
Oh, yeah.
She's the closing shot of the episode.
And that throw, that pitch that she did, incredible.
Right down the middle.
Yeah, her form is definitely more than a tad bit better. That's for sure.
Yeah.
She's awesome. I really like the character Max. I like her friendship with Clance. I'm really excited to see where that goes. I just want her to be able to play baseball. She deserves it. I'm really looking forward to what's going to come of her story.
This is Shantae Adams, who has not been in a ton of stuff. This feels like it's the biggest thing she's going to be. She was in A Journal for Jordan, which was kind of like a movie that came out in 2021. It has Michael B. Jordan in it. So she's been in stuff, but this feels like this is her like big thing. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Should we very quickly, I love to talk about intro, like videos, the intro, the opening. This one is very plain. It is different, like patches, Rockford Peaches patches. What did we think? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot to talk about, but like, it is the intro card.
She cute.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I had to say. I mean, like, it's fine.
I almost feel like with most shows, like I do want something that like makes you feel like, okay, I'm like in it. I want to like, I'm in the vibe of the show. And I feel like if you don't have that, to just have something that's like not even, it's so short, it's not worth me skipping. As far as we know, this is what the intro is. It could be next episode. Yeah. Sometimes shows do this. But I think if you're going to drop your whole show at once, you probably have your intro package ready. But it's not like, it's not long enough. It's not long enough for me to like skip it. I think I'm just going to watch it every week.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm from Illinois, and so every once in a while there will be a like, come play baseball with reenactors of the league, and so I've gone to many of them, and so seeing the patches was like, it's fun for me because I'm like, have been able to participate in some weird way in that.
So would you be, are you a Peach fan, or are you?
I am a Peach fan. Yeah. They're the closest team to me too, but
Oh, how convenient.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you feel about Rockford? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I spent some time working in Rockford too, and that like they have a lot of pride for that team. It's still alive and well.
How did you feel about the Chicago representation this episode?
Oh, well, I don't know where they found that place, but it's like, it doesn't look like that anymore, but it, I mean the city, yeah. Like, anytime you know there's old Wrigley Field, I always feel good about it. Old Wrigley is a good time.
Yes. All right, let's talk about the sort of cast of characters that are going to round out our team. As I said earlier, we don't get a ton of baseball, but we get the tryouts. I also like, speaking of Wrigley Field, I do like the moment where they all come out and they're like, holy shit. That's how I would feel when I go to Wrigley.
Yeah, yeah, super relatable going to Wrigley Field. I think anyone, whether you're a spectator or if you're on the field, is just like, oh gosh.
Yeah, so our crew to round out the baseball team. I have them here. I think the show doesn't do a great job at telling basically any of their names, but I discovered them via IMDb. So first up, we have Shirley, who's played by Kate Berlant on the American version of Taskmaster. This is where I know Kate Berlant from. Plays a sort of her anxiety-ridden roommate with the humidifiers.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Her last name is Cohen. I feel like that's very targeted. I too am an anxious Jewish girl.
Shirley Cohen. Yeah. Shirley Cohen. Yeah.
That makes so much sense now.
Yeah. Maybelle is our blonde, Maybelle Fox, who I think, to the point where we keep saying, like, there aren't one-to-ones, but she did feel like she's sort of in here as like Madonna, Marilyn Monroe type, you know.
She's definitely got May vibes.
She does have May vibes. I mean, they call her Maybelle. That's hard to miss, you know, I think. Yeah. We have our classic Canadian, Kelly from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Canada, who just like smokes a lot and is like, what a hilarious Canadian that they've picked. I think that's very funny. We have Lupe, who I think Lupe has one of my favorite lines of the episode. It's a scene with Kelly, and Kelly says, "Are you a pitcher?" He says, "Yeah, did you see me pitch? Like, what kind of question is that?" Kelly goes, "A very simple one." So I just think like those two could be dynamite as well. Esty is the girl who doesn't speak very much English. The Nat Faxon characters are going to be like, yeah, maybe don't talk to the media. So that's Esty. I think that pretty much rounds out what our crew is going to be, like our baseball team, along with Joe, Greta, and Carson.
Yeah.
Any standouts?
I think that they all had a little bit of their time. I thought that Shirley Cohen, played by Kate Berlant, was definitely probably most present. Lupe was definitely a standout as well. I have an idea. What happens if whenever a new character came up, they had like a classic baseball card the screen, it has the picture and then of course their name and their position, because the first episode, how am I supposed to know who all these people are?
Agree. I say we only got like tryout, we got very montage, like throwing, like the someone doing the splits, it was very montage-y, and it was good. I could see next episode with the introduction of Nick Offerman's character where like he has to set a lineup, and like I think in the movie they do like introduce the lineup like by name, so maybe I could see that, and they really wanted us to like focus on Carson, Greta, Joe, Max and Clance, even Clance. I thought it was like hard. I only was like, oh yeah, I see this on IMDb. But I feel like the rest of the crew, they're like saving a bit to like give them their, and I imagine, although it's 8 episodes, but we'll see how much like of a shine all of them get. I hope they all get some moments.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't learn a lot about baseball in this first one. It's definitely character driven. The only thing I picked up position wise, I think, is that Carson is the catcher. She was catching at one point. I don't know if she's actually the catcher.
I mean, as half our Dottie, you know, that makes sense, I think, to be the catcher. I think it's also easier to like, there's a lot of baseball movies that are like, yeah, the main guy is the catcher. So that basically you can have a bunch of scenes with like a pitcher and a catcher. And it's like, yeah, you just have them like holding a glove and saying something. So I think that makes sense.
I did enjoy the scene when they're all at the house and they're like the little different conversations that were happening, like trying to figure out how to like use a bathroom with a bunch of women in the house is always going to be amusing to me, just because we are amusing creatures like that. Mm-hmm. And then just like the fact that Carson gets paired up with, I just forgot her name.
Shirley.
Yes, with Shirley. And Shirley's first line, like, I know they put that in there for the times, because her first line in the whole thing is like, "We're spreading so many germs. Have you ever gotten the flu?"
Yeah, that's because Kelly's using chewing tobacco. And because have you ever heard of shutting the hell up? Like the angriest person on the show seems to be the Canadian, which is very funny. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you like the rules? What was it? It was no drinking, no smoking, no pants.
No pants.
No pants in public. No there's pants also in public. Earlier, Kevin Dunn, who's going to be the owner of the league, is going to be, what is his character's name? Morris Baker.
Mr. Baker.
He also says, talking about with some journalists or reporters, he says, yeah, no pant wearing, no trash talking, no spit chewing. That's when Carson runs into a reporter trying to catch a ball. I've never seen such enormous calves.
Yeah.
terrible. He was rudest man. He was so much worse than the owner.
Gary Marshall.
Marshall, like, he was a little bit rude, but he was like a fun-loving guy. He was like, I love this. Like, I had a hot dog. I have a great team. I love these girls.
I feel like there was a very, with Gary Marshall's character, there was a very, like, you know, well, we'll do this because all the guys are at war. And this is a little different, this Kevin Dunn character, the Baker character of, like, gosh, do I really have to do this? Which is different. And then we get Nat Faxon, who I believe his name is Marshall. He's going to be our stand-in for the actor. I can't remember his name. I really have to say, I wish Nat Faxon had the glasses that the guy from the original movie had, because it's my favorite part of that guy's character. It's like fancy glasses. But I'm excited. Nat Faxon also having a pretty good year. He's in Loot. Yeah. He's also the writing partner of one Dean Pelton, I believe. Mm-hmm. If I have that correct. So a Community Building shout out. We don't get a ton here, just that, like, you know, clearly he's like, let me run the leak, I'll like make sure it's like successful, and that's really it with Baker not wanting the league to run at all. Potentially
Baker also said, you know, my wife and I went to Africa and saw a bunch of hyenas. That's what this reminded me of.
We're all checking the cards.
Come on.
Boy, it's hard not to compare the movie to the TV show, I feel like, the whole way through here, because, like, I really, again, to, like, the tryout stuff, it felt very quick, and I know that, like, they have 8 episodes to do a lot of it, but it felt like it just happened, to the point of, like, being scouted before, like, she got scouted somewhere, then she's here playing, I guess, like, to the extent that, like, they're going to touch on, like, some very important stuff, I think, in terms of, like, sexuality, race. That's amazing. But also I felt like, you know, that scene where they're like, all the girls are finding out whether they're on the team, and then that girl can't, and I know you know, they're trying to write their own thing. They're trying to do their own thing. They don't need it to be this thing. But to your point of, like, how we don't have, like, a biological sister companion, what I hope the show can still capitalize is on the, like, the sorority nature of, like, all these girls playing baseball together. The sisterhood. Yeah. And there's so much of that, I think, in some of the scenes trying out for the team, in being on the bus for the first time, in finding their names on the scorecard, that I feel like the show didn't exactly capture it exactly. And maybe I just need to, like, let go that the movie was the movie and this is the TV show.
We also have so much more time to explore those elements. We have,
agreed,
what, like, 4 more hours of content.
Yes.
That, we could explore those elements. So I, of course, like, there were some elements that, I mean, we hated to see it, but we loved to see it, like the eloquence school. But also it's like such a funny bit when they're in that whole thing. So there's a couple of elements that I wish that they would include, but they have a lot more ground to cover. That's probably more important content. We did see the outfit, the baseball outfit at the end.
Yep.
Of course, it's exciting to see that.
When they, there is a Greta says, when they all find out that they're going to be Rockford Peaches, she says, we're all effing fruit. I thought it was good. And to the camaraderie, they go out to the bar together, right? Like, Greta's like, let's all go. And is it Shirley who's like, I've never been drunk before, but I have read a lot of Greek literature about alcohol. And we see Greta and Joe dancing together. So, just because it's not in the same way it was before doesn't mean it's not in there.
I think, you know, a team's going to team, right? And that that'll translate to sister something. I'm sure we'll get some sister fights. I'm sure it'll be, you know, like a well-rounded sisterhood experience.
I just really, in my notes here, I just realized, because the whole episode, I was wondering whether there was a Greta Carson thing, but I feel like there's also a moment where you're like, is there a Lupe Carson thing? It's where she's like, Shirley says, dancing sure is fun, but people don't talk about how dangerous it is. And then it comes over to Lupe being like, they're talking about, like, how'd you get permission to come? And Lupe says, I didn't get permission. I just can't. And she's, is this why you cut your hair, to be incognito? And she says, I don't think it looks that different. She says, it kind of does. And she gives her this, like, I felt like, slightly flirty look, that I wonder whether that comes up at all Is just everybody on the show going to be queer? I love that if that's the case.
I think that there's a lot of flirty vibes all over the place.
Yeah, it's just interesting because then we immediately get to like Greta comes over and talks to Carson. I feel like the whole it could be a lot of, you know, it said a love triangle earlier.
Yeah,
could be like a love
octagon.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa,
love diamonds because it's a baseball diamond.
There we go.
You. Yeah, it's interesting when you think about like how, you know, oftentimes when there's teams of men, sexuality is like a big or having lots of sex is a big thing that you know, some movies focus on. So it'll be interesting if we get another side to that story here.
Yeah.
But the movie just kind of like didn't talk about.
I feel like these women are very like they're much more like they're willing to like go and drink, right? They have curfew, yes. They have to be back, but they feel much like freer almost than any of them did in A League of Their Own, the movie, to a degree.
Well, I think that's also reflective of the time that we're in too. Like, you know, the audience is ready for different things.
Yeah, agreed. We touched a little bit on the music. I thought the music was pretty good in this episode, although Marissa, you were saying it kind of like threw you out of
I mean, I'll get used to it, but at first I was like, okay, like Kicks 166, got it, check. You know, I think there's some music that I was like, is that the same music from the movie, like the same exact music? I didn't know if they were like using
the very beginning that. Is right the running behind the running to the train is the exact music,
yeah. Yeah, and then I think like at the end I just was like, what? Oh, they're just telling me about them. Like, I just didn't know. Like, it didn't match up with the time period. Everything else I felt kind of matched up-ish. But
yeah, I like that it's like, I think the thing of like, yeah, it's a cover. So it's like, but like, I don't know. It's funny because I feel like this stuff normally does bother me of like having like time-centric episodes. But famously, you did Moulin Rouge for Movie Club. And that's like, that's Baz Luhrmann's thing. It's like, the music, it doesn't matter where the music is from.
Yeah, no, I think it was just like the first time hearing it, I'm like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing. Like at first, I just had to get my mind in that.
The craziest thing with Moulin Rouge is that I was watching Moulin Rouge before I knew what any of those songs were. So I was like, oh, Moulin Rouge has all these good original songs, like so good. And then as the older I got, the more I was like, oh man, like none of these songs are original. What is this?
That's hilarious. Amazing. Did we miss anything? Anything else you'd touch on?
I mean, it was a really great episode. There is a lot going on. I loved the montage for the tryouts. I think that famously, I always feel like less sports and sports shows and movies are always better. But I will say, could have used a little bit more sports.
Yeah.
We'll get it. This one ran 50 minutes. I mean, you said 4 hours, I think. Probably more than four, you know, if any of them even hit the hour mark. I'm not sure what they're like, the time will be, but I think there's so much more time that they can commit to some, like, you know, I think we'll get a lot of baseball it was a critique of mine of episode one. I mean, it's so tough. Episode one's, it's a series premiere. So it has to do a lot of introductions, a lot of setup, even though it's based on something, it's also resetting the world to a degree. They want to show how they're putting their own spin on it. They have to reintroduce, you know, to the point of like Baker and Marshall, they have to set them up so that if you never watched the movie, because to be fair, the movie came out 30 years ago, you have to set it up. So I think that it's pretty good. I think it makes me excited for episode two, because I think they could really get into a groove next episode.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're focusing on the peaches, like all of our cast is like peaches related. But I think we're going to get to see some games, and maybe, you know, what if somebody gets traded? Like, I think there's elements that can happen out of that.
That's what I was thinking. Who's most likely to get traded?
Ooh, we typically do death drafts. I feel like I'm
supposed to. Ooh, trade draft.
Trade draft is interesting. So basically you have Maybelle, Kelly, Lupe, Esty, Shirley, Joe, Greta, Carson. I don't want to, does somebody want to pick first?
Let's,
you want me to randomize? Yeah.
Who was that?
You want me to randomize it?
I was like, sure. I'd roll for it, but I don't have any dice right now.
I'll just do a random number. That's Sarah, you get first pick, I think.
Hey, love to see it. I'm going to say, you know, maybe Carson will get traded and then we get to meet the other part of the teams. Interesting. The other teams. The Blue Sox. The Lassies.
The Rants and Bells is the team. And they are also, if the show is going to be historically accurate, they win the first season. So it'd be a great team to be traded to. Okay, Carson. Marissa, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Shirley. Only because I think it would be comedic.
Yeah, to have anxiety, to be anxious.
Yeah, and she'd be anxious to be traded, but then maybe she'll make her way back.
I think that's a good pick. I was thinking of the same lines as you, Sarah, but I wasn't thinking Carson. I was actually thinking Greta. That if there is tension between those two people and it becomes a thing, we've seen that. I don't know that we saw Greta is like. Does she show off her skills at baseball all that much? We know Carson does. Carson hits a ball to the wall. That I feel like similarly to the movie where it's like we can't be on the same team. And she's sort of thinking like, yeah, I either need to quit or like I'm going to get traded. She finds out the Kit gets traded. So I could see Greta getting traded and sort of this like miscommunication. They're fighting. Yeah. Nick Offerman's character is like, I needed to get rid of her. But then like comes back for next season. You know, and the for now, the show is one season. No rumors of renewal or anything like that. And you could obviously just like reset that she like signs back with the team at the beginning of next season. Yeah. So I think Greta would be my bet. Yeah. I think the other person on the board could be Joe, as in if Joe is like jealous of Greta. Like maybe this is part of the, you know, not to like circle back all the way to the first thing we talked about, but is does Greta know she can't be in a relationship with Carson because it would cause jealousy for Joe?
Maybe.
I think there's something there. Yeah. And so Joe's the one who's jealous. Joe gets upset. Joe gets traded. That would hurt. That would be bad.
Yeah. All right. Trades, they happen. So we'll find out.
Love trades. Love transactions.
Let me just stay on the podcast. Don't trade me.
No, we're not trading. No trades.
I feel like I'm getting traded. I feel like it's happening.
Actually, we did trade for you before the season started, and then we said no takesies, backsies. So. All right, I think that's our coverage. Let's go around the horn, another baseball term, and just keep killing it, and give our plugs. Sarah, what about you? What are you up to, and where can people find you?
Yeah, over on Post Show Recaps, in addition to coverage of League of Their Own, I am covering Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin with Jess Sterling. We are having a really great time covering that. So much mystery, so much intrigue. Mm-hmm. Also on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we are finishing up our coverage of season 6 of Boy Meets World and season 4 of Dawson's Creek. So that's very exciting. And also we are covering Xenon Girl, the 21st Century.
Oh my
God. The best DCOM of all time, in my humble opinion, for the month of August. Lots of fun stuff. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson.
Marissa, what about you?
Well, I'm, you know, here, but then I'm also covering The Bear on Post Show Recaps with LaTanya Starks, who is amazing and is fun to talk to about the show. Two Chicagoans talking about a Chicago show. It's a good time with many guests. So hopefully you can check us out there. And then otherwise you can see what I'm up to on Twitter at MarsBars, MarsBars, or in the aforementioned Discord of Post Show Recaps. I'm also hanging out there.
Amazing. I am covering, should be finished by this point, but Blackbird, our coverage of that should have wrapped up recently. As well, I am covering movies each week with Ariel. I think we did an episode on Bullet Train as this pod came out, covering the Sandman Netflix show with Philly. I think lots more coming. Sports Over and Rob is a podcast with the Offspeed podcast. I think that's it from us. Until next time, lay off the high ones.